and you're going to have setbacks and doubts and reservations. Remember, even though you make an allegiance to God without reservation, it doesn't mean you won't have reservations. Yeah, because I have doubts along the way. Sure you will, but listen carefully. Here's a tip. When you get doubts about God, here it is. Doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith. Doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith. We're so easily jettisoned out of the race. Well, that sounds dumb. I'm not coming back to this church. It's like, stop. Doubt your doubt before you doubt your faith.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. We all go through storms in life. You may be in one right now. If not, there could well be one on the horizon. So how do we develop a faith that will keep us standing firm? Yesterday, Pastor Wayne told us we need to learn as much as we can about God. Today, he'll take it a step further and show us that we need to do what we have learned. Here he is with the conclusion of the message, Unshakable Allegiance.
And so your next step is, would you write down step one is to learn as much as you can about God. Know him. The second is, now start doing what you know. What God has given to you, you know about God, knowledge of God. Now do something with it. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Would you read it with me in John 13, 17? Ready? Go. Now that you, say it nice and loud. Now that you
know
these things, you will be blessed if you?
You.
Yeah. If you know these things, you'll be blessed if you?
You.
So the blessing doesn't come from the knowing. You'll be blessed if you?
Yeah.
Watch this. If this is all that you know, and you're a brand new believer, and you go, whoa, that's it, and you do everything you know, you have applied 100% of what you know. Time goes on, and you increase your knowledge of God, but you only still do the same thing, the same amount. Now you're like applying 50%. A little while later, you go to a men's thing, you go to a women's Bible study, you go to summer camp. Whoa, now you know a lot. But you go home and you still do the same thing. Which one of these does the blessings come through? The knowing or the doing? It comes through this, the doing. And you say, well, how come God doesn't bless me more? I know so much. It's because you are blessed if you know them. No, you're blessed if you. So the second step, the first is know God. Get to know God. And your daily devotions, your times here, your studies, whatever it might be, you'll get to know God in a tremendous way. It'll grow. But the second step is you've got to match this to this. And start growing because the blessings come through this right here. So then if you know a ton and you start doing more, the blessings increase because it comes through the doing, not the knowing. And that's when information becomes transformation. The Pharisees only had more information. So if the word of God just comes into your brain, that's rational. That's spiritual. That's very good. I agree with that. If it just comes here, it's called information. If it drops down here and you get excited about it, that's called inspiration. But it's not until it gets into your shoes and bleeds out of your toenails that it becomes transformation. And that's that long distance between declaration and transformation that goes through a process. Get to know God and then start to do what you know. Because if it's just information, that makes you a Pharisee. If it's just inspiration, makes you a fanatic. But when it comes bleeding out your toes, it makes you a disciple. And that's where we want to get to. So from declaration to transformation, it's going to take a while from what you profess and what you actually possess. It's going to take 40 chapters. Just don't get stuck in the squat. And so keep learning, continue to grow in Him. Well, you say, well, how do you do that? Because I need reminders. Yeah, I do too. I would encourage you to put up some, like this, see this little wristband? This has been on since that one sermon about me and my big mouth. And I do one thing because I have a big mouth sometime. And so I just keep this on to just remind me to shut up. Just don't say anything. Don't say anything. It's one thing. Just remind. The Jewish people had festivals. They had feast days. They have something on their doorposts called a mezuzah. In it is a little teeny scripture of Deuteronomy 6. And it, as they enter their house and they go out of their house, they touch that. You know why? To remind them to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Maybe you need a scripture on the wall that just says, peace, be still today, from last week's message. How many of you need reminders? Raise your hand. How many of you need reminders? Yeah, good. Yeah, the rest of you that didn't raise your hand, you need a reminder. That's your... We need and work on just one thing at a time. Because you say, Wayne, I can't do a ton of stuff. Do one thing. One thing. Just one. Work on one thing. For me, it's watch what I say. Just be a little more quiet. What you want to say, just chill. Just don't do it. And so I kind of watch myself. I'm just working on one thing. Maybe this summer it might be devotions. Try to do it. Can't do it 7 days a week. Do it 3 days a week. Just one thing. Right after World War II, Dr. W. Edward Demings is his name. Dr. W. Edwards Deming. I was assigned by MacArthur to go into Japan because Japan's economy had collapsed after World War II. And he went in there and studied the businesses. Because in those days, if you turned something over, a toy or an implement, and it said made in Japan, what did that mean? Yeah, it was junk. Not today, though. So he went in there and gave them some principles, one of which was this. If you will improve something, one thing, about yourself and your product every day, just one little thing, maybe the way you write, the penmanship with which you write, the recording of something, milling the metal that you're working with, just another nanometer better to get it balanced. If you'll improve just one thing about yourself and your product every day, he said, and this was a promise, he said, in 10 years, you will have turned around your economy of Japan, and in 30 years, you will be a world power economically. Well, this was a huge, huge promise to have made, but they bought it hook, line, and sinker. And so they began to do that. Even till this day, you'll go to the Japanese companies, and they have all their employees do exercise in the morning. They line them up, and you do stretches before you go to work. They'll do all kinds. Toyota, who was making pistons for Honda, would mill that piston or a piston ring just a little bit better. They would increase the balance just a little bit better. They would increase and they would improve and they would increase and improve. And sure enough, in 10 years, the whole economy of Japan had turned around, a nation with zero natural resources. They turned the economy around, and 30 years later, they became a world power economically by improving stuff. Think about it. You take a look at our stock market. Much of our stock market is owned by Japan. You see all the 7-Elevens coming up? It's not owned by the U.S. Japan owns 7-Eleven. They will take our cars. That was developed by Henry Ford, an American. They take our cars, they improve them, sell it back to us at 3 times the price. And we buy them. How many of you own a Japanese car, like a Lexus or an Acura? A bunch of us. Yeah. And so we see, in fact, I found out that my tractor's engine is made by Japan, John Deere. They own so much stuff. Why? Because they took our engines, improved them, sold them back to us. Pretty smart. They have become a world power economically. They take our cameras that Kodak made, they will improve them and sell it back to us at 10 times the price, a Canon or a Sony camera. They own our movie theaters and our cinema production companies because they improve it and sell it back to us. They take our computers, they take everything and improve it. All because one of our people told him what to do. Shame on that man. Now listen, if Japan can do that for an economy, how much more can we improve ourselves for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? If you improve something about yourself, just 1% a day, just 1%, in a year, you will have improved yourself over 365%. Pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, improve something, you know. Comb your hair, put on deodorant, tie your shoes, anything. And you'll be surprised how the improvement will affect and benefit those all around you. So do what you know. In fact, even in the Old Testament, the Lord says, don't drive out your enemies all at once. Let me read it for you. He says this, little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Little by little. What's one thing you're going to work on this week? One thing. When I was in college, I used to practice a club soccer in Hayward Field, which is now the home of the pre-Olympic trials, and that's now a multi-million dollar stadium. But in those days, anybody could just go in the middle of the track, we would practice soccer. And on one end, I was watching a high jumper practice for the Olympic trials. And it was another year away, but he would start off with a bar at about 4 feet, and he would jump that, and then they would raise it and raise it and raise it. Well, over a year, I'd watch him every week as I would practice soccer. Well, finally, the day of the Olympic trials came, and I didn't even know this guy, but I wanted to go see him compete. So I actually went to the trials. I don't know who this guy is. I just been watching him. Well, the bar is now up at 6'4". 6'4", about right here. That's tall. And everybody knocked it down except this guy. He had 3 chances. First one, he knocked it down. Second one, he knocked it down again. So we're going, come on, come on, you can win this thing. Just one jump. And he would consult and confer with his coach. And then he looked at that bar for a moment as if to make a deal with it. And then he started his long semicircular run. And as he approached that bar, you could see his feet like a gated horse start to pump. And right at the end, he just catapulted into the air. And he went over with the tilt of his head, the arch of his back, and just the flick of his foot was at the right time. And he came down and cleared the bar. I started crying. I thought, this is amazing. I ran down there. I said, I don't know you, but can I hug you? And I was thinking, you know, when he was jumping at 4 feet, he had 6'4" inside of him. He just proved it. But he had to get that 6'4" out of him. How did he do that? Did he raise the bar a foot at a time? No, 6 inches at a time. 2 feet at a time. No, in order to get that 6'4" out of him, he had to raise the bar about what? An inch at a time. Again and again. Listen, some of you are jumping 2 feet, 1 inch right now. And you go, whoa, nobody else is doing that. And the Lord is saying, there's 6'4 inside of this church. There's 6'8 in this church. There's 7'2 in this church. But you're settling for 4 feet. And the Lord is saying, if you will increase who you are and what you do, just an inch, just 1% a day, for the sake of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, maybe the way you speak, maybe the way you greet people, maybe breaking through your shyness and saying, hi, I am. Introducing just one little thing. If you'll do that for the sake of the kingdom of God, you'll move from information to transformation, and you won't get stuck in the squat. Begin to move, because the blessings come through the doing, not the knowing. And then, would you write down number 3? After you know about God, and then you start to do what you know, don't ever give up. Don't give up. Because it's going to take 40 chapters for some of us. And you're going to have setbacks and doubts and reservations. Remember, even though you make an allegiance to God without reservation, it doesn't mean you won't have reservations. Yeah, because I have doubts along the way. Sure you will. But listen carefully. Here's a tip. When you get doubts about God, here it is. Doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith. Doubt your doubts before you doubt your faith. How many of us are so easily, we're so easily jettisoned out of the race? Well, that's what they're going to think. Well, forget it. Well, that sounds dumb. I'm not coming back to this church. So like, stop. Doubt your doubt before you doubt your faith. Others will say, Wayne, you know, I'd like to give up. Why? Because I made a declaration for God here. And then now everything is still weeds in my life. Still coming up bad fruit. I said, well, I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because just imagine you have a bag of bad seed full of weeds and thistle seeds. That's all you're doing is throwing out bad stuff. Anger, lust, avarice, greed, selfishness, pride, narcissism, whatever it might be. You're throwing all of this stuff all over the place. And all of a sudden you come to New Hope West, boom, you receive Christ. You exchange bad seed for eternal seed. Everybody got it? Now you start throwing eternal seed, but what's still coming up? Bad stuff, weeds. Why? Because you've been throwing that for years. And you say, well, I've been throwing good seed. Nothing but bad's coming up. I'm out of here. Like, stop. Don't give up. Don't stop. You keep throwing good seed. And there will come a time when your declaration will turn to transformation. You keep throwing good seed. Don't stop. Don't say, well, forget it then. If it's going to be bad stuff coming up, I might as well throw bad stuff again. Like, no. Don't stop. Because ye have need of endurance, for after you have done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. Hebrews. You keep going. Doesn't matter what comes up. I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to stay true to my allegiance to God. And all of a sudden, all of that becomes behind you. And now, wonderful things are starting to happen. It's going to require maybe 40 chapters. It's okay. Just don't get stuck in the squat. Keep going. So know all you can about God. And then start to do what you know, even if it's 1% at a time. And then don't stop. Don't stop. You keep going. Why? Because Jesus is going to walk with you every step of the way. And he's going to assign someone called the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to walk alongside of you and guide you. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit who's been assigned to you. He knows. So keep going. All you got to do is keep going. Let me finish with a story. It's a true story of one of the greatest concert pianists of all time. His name was Jean Paderewski. Ignace Jean Paderewski. From Poland. And this mother had a little 7-year-old boy taking piano lessons. Oh, he abhorred them. He wanted to go out and play with his friends, but it was time for him to practice piano. And he'd say, I don't want to practice piano. And the mother said, practice piano. Well, it just happened that the great concert pianist, Paderewski, was coming to town in a concert. So she thought maybe if he went to this concert and heard this maestro, maybe it would inspire him to play piano. So she bought tickets, quite expensive, and she went there with her son, who was antsy. And he was full of energy, and he was getting up his seat, down from his seat, up from his seat, down from the seat. And the concert wasn't going to start for another 10 minutes. Well, when's this going to start, Mom? She said, just in a little while. Up on the stage under a pin spotlight was a beautiful ebony black Steinway grand piano with a tufted chair waiting for the master to come out. While the people were waiting, this little boy got antsier and antsier. Well, the mom turned to talk to a friend, but when she turned around, her kid was gone. He had escaped. She looked around in horror thinking, where is he? And to her greater horror, when she looked up, he was climbing up the stairs to the piano. And then worst of all, he situates himself on that stool and starts to play the only song he knows, Chopsticks. and he starts playing chopsticks. Now the mother does not know what to do. She's looking around going, oh no. And other people are looking around thinking, whose kid is this? And I could see the mother going, I have no idea whose kid this is. Well, the master, Paderewski himself, from off stage, heard the commotion. And the story is told that he quickly, without hesitation, put on his coat with tails and slid out into the stage. And he put one hand on one side of the boy and the other hand on the other. And he whispered to the boy, just don't stop. And he kept playing chopsticks. And with his left hand, Paderewski would fill in the bass notes. And then with his right hand, he started putting in arpeggios that would make that sound like a harp just going back and forth. And that little boy just kept playing chopsticks. And his eyes were big, and he kept saying, just don't stop. Just don't, whatever happens, don't stop. And in a moment, it crescendoed and it ended to a standing ovation of the people. And I think back and I thought, you know, the master turned a mistake into a miracle. Not because the little boy was so good, but because the master was there to augment that little boy. The master is there to augment you and me. Just don't stop. Do what you can. Know about God and know Him with all your heart. Press in. There's going to be a tension, but it'll be pulling you forward from information to transformation. And then begin to do what you know, because the blessings come through not the knowing, but the doing. And then whatever happens, don't stop, because the Holy Spirit is there to turn our mistakes into an enchanting, unforgettable symphony. Can you say amen to that? Let's stand together. We will end with a prayer. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please pray this prayer with all your heart, because He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. If you miss Him, we've missed it all. It's a very simple prayer. But I'm going to ask you, if you've never received Christ, pray this. If it's your first time, then when you leave, there will be a yes packet that an usher will have. Would you ask them for one? Just say, could I get a yes packet? In it, some material that'll help you so much in your first few steps with Christ. And if you need prayer in any way, there will be prayer counselors here to my left and to your right. Please access them immediately after the service. They'll pray for you, love you, help you in any way that they can. But would you bow your heads with me and let's pray this concluding prayer. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and you died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you and receive you as my Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for receiving us to yourself. As long as it takes, we will follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen and amen and amen. Seal that with a clap offering, would you?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Unshakable Allegiance by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust it has strengthened and encouraged you today. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.
There are times when I just feel so alone. Even in my own house, amongst my own family, there are times where I just feel isolated. It's so easy to feel like everyone else's life is so much better than mine, and that I am not enough. For me, loneliness is especially hard when I remember loved ones who have passed away. If you're feeling like that, can I just say that you are loved? Your voice matters. Your life matters. You make the world a better place. Never forget that you are important. To find community and be a part of a family, start with us. And when you do, you'll find that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.